Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio. You right here with your guy, Keith Harris, on the Keith Harris Show in the GN. And listen, we are extremely excited to have this gentleman on the phone with us. His resume is mad. Like, it's insane. Way, way, way a lot of work. I can't wait to talk to this guy about just some of the things that he's done, some of the features that he's done, and things like that. Holding it down from Australia, as a matter of fact. A lot of talent. Like, Australia is heavy in the music scene. I noticed, even with the American game, the way it is, Australia is definitely on their heels doing their things. So, without any further ado, I'd like to roll out the red carpet and introduce this hard-working gentleman, hip-hop artist, actor, just so much that he's busy with, hip-hop artist Muggsy, all the way from Australia. What's going on, Muggsy?
What's good, man? How you doing? Yeah, I love that whole little red carpet thing that you did right there, man. So what's good to America right now?
Hey, man, look, America's all right, right? America's good right now, man. The music scene is a little shaky right now, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying? So we're looking forward to some of the Australia, some of the music coming from you over there in your camp and stuff like that, man.
Yeah, man, I can definitely understand that. To be honest, man, like, underground's keeping it real. They will always keep it real, man. But the mainstream sort of side of things, man, I think it's sort of lacking, or in a big way, really lacking. Artists now mumbling in their songs, man, and it's like, you know, what happened to lyricism and bringing out, you know, a message to the people and stuff, man. All of that's gone, but hopefully the underground kicks back off and takes us where we want to be again, man. So, right. Yeah. Right. So yeah, like with me, man. Yeah. I just go day by day, man, and try and get on anything as possible. So right. With my resume, which you said, man. I just try and get on any opportunity possible, man, and try and get my name out there wherever it may be. If it's in USA, yeah. If it's in Australia, if it's in Canada.
And you know what too, listen, you've been busy. We'll try to go back and start a little bit at the beginning for you, because you got a hell of a resume in the acting field too. So we'll talk about the music, but which one did you begin in? Well, I guess the music kind of was first for you, because it comes from the culture. The music comes from the heart, so you probably started writing, you know, from a young youth. When did the musical expression kind of begin for you, where you started to realize you wanted the world to hear your story?
Oh, absolutely, man. Back in the early thousands, man. Well, I'm 26 at the moment, but back in the early thousands, I was about 14, 15, and you know, hip hop was skyrocketing back then. You know, like we had 50 Cent, she, you know, came out, and you know, and like D12 and Eminem, and Eminem came in the 90s, but I think he really powerhoused back in the thousands when he had, you know, Shady Records and stuff, and it was just everywhere, man. It was in movies, it was in MTV, BET and stuff, and you couldn't run away from it, and it just looked like this real cool vibe to be a part of, and just everything about him, and my grades were failing at school, man. I hated high school, so I don't want to do this, you know. Friends were going to like university and stuff like that, you know, they were plotting their what they want to learn and that, and I was like, nah, that's not me. So you know, I was just thinking, what do I want to do with my life? And then, you know, I picked up a pen, man, and I just started writing down rhymes, and after that I knew if I want to progress at this, I'd have to do full songs. You can't just like write blank rhymes.
Yeah.
So I started doing full songs, and then by the end of my high school days, man, in 2009, I had like my first album already done. And then it was kind of like that local celebrity sort of feeling, man, of just people know, knowing like, oh, we know that guy from high school, he's a rapper now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that little local celebrity sort of thing. So it was an adrenaline rush of like, wow, like
right.
They're knowing me from my craft and my music. I can't give this up now. And
right.
It's just been, you know, a crazy ride over this 12 years, man. And people pretty much know me as like Muggsy, man, or like, you know, the hip hop guy when I walk around my neighborhood, man, which is pretty insane.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's
so
positive.
Started from, yeah, oh, for sure, definitely, man. Yeah, well, that's all part of hip-hop, man. It's all positive, you know?
Right.
Mm.
So like, production, like to make sure to get to, like, shouting out on some of your producers, you've been doing this, so I'm sure you work with some very talented producers. On your latest album, which we'll talk about, I'm going to bounce around a little bit, but on your latest album, what were some of the producers you work with, and do you like producing some of your own beats sometimes?
Yeah, well, my first album, you know, called Ride or Die, you know, like, it was produced by a guy called Glenn Sholem, and he had his own, like, studio, it was a big warehouse, and it's called Sholem City Records.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of fun over 2 years, like, producing it and stuff. It was probably like 2 to 3 years, like, but writing-wise and trying to find the concept of it took longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was, you know, an impact that I wanted. It was cool at first, man.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was lacking back.
Right. Wow.
On a lot of jobs, and yeah, like I just wasn't thinking it. I wasn't thinking it through. It was just like a stepping stone.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, I was, by the second album, I was performing at a Houston gig, and there was a guy in the crowd called Pablo. I can't even pronounce his last name, man. He keeps telling me, and then I can't even pronounce it, like Gortez or something. He's like, he's from like New Zealand.
Yeah.
And he was like, I heard some of your music and seen some of your performances. You know, like I've got a home studio in my garage and stuff, and I do like a lot of stuff. And you know, I've got cheap prices and stuff. Do you want to try and record some?
Right.
So you know, I gave it some thought, and he gave me his, like, you know, his business card stuff. He had like handmade business cards made up, and a few months later, he's like, are we ready to work? And it just came out of nowhere, man. And at the time, I was trying to look for other studios, but most are so damn expensive over here, man, that it's just crazy. So I took his offer, and yeah, man, it was just like butter, man. It just we grew together, and
yeah.
We made a better album than the first one, man. And
yeah.
It was just crazy that the first one was in a professional studio, and it was like, hey, it was all right, but one in a garage studio, more time, more connecting, and more of a bond with like a friendship, and not just a in and out kind of business, like, you know, give me the money, get on the mic, you know, get sent home. This one was more of a bond of just coming together, seeing what I wanted, and then yeah, it just evaluated from there, man, which was crazy. So for my third album, man, I want to really, you know, try and get Pablo back in on this one again, because I reckon he could scoop up something like a masterpiece, man.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you know, people like yourself, you know, people like myself, you know, genuine hearted music lovers, you know, we understand the culture and everything that builds, and especially when you talk about hip hop music. One of the things that I've noticed, Muggsy, is Australia, and I don't know if you guys know it because you're there. One of the things that I've noticed, you've got America on the map, but Australia is on the map for, listen, Australia's got swag. Let me shorten what I'm trying to say, okay? Australia has a lot of swag. And a lot of times, Australian artists and people like yourself, you tend to stick out. People notice you because of that swag and that flyness. What is it about you guys, Stella? Do you know what it is, what that flavor is that you guys bring that puts you all on the map? Because and people who know music, they understand what I'm saying. And you notice yourself, Muggsy. Listen, Australia gets props when it comes to artists. So what is it like yourself because we know you're a great artist. We know you're a great rapper. That's the skill that comes within. But, you know, you're from another world and you bring that to the table in a real way. But what is it? Do you know what it is? Like, is there a difference in you know?
Man, I can't even tell you that. Like, I don't even know myself, you know. It's crazy.
You probably don't see the difference, I guess.
Could it be of our accent, man? I don't know. Do we sound like...
Nah, I'm talking... No. I'm talking like even the style. Even the style of dress. I mean, the accent's obvious, okay? You know, people always love accents from different places. But I'm just talking about even the style itself. Just you guys' style. Everywhere... with clothing and
man,
even...
I wouldn't even know, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't even know myself. that's a blank answer right now, man.
Hey, well, big shouts out then. I ain't gonna tie you up then like that. But let me, you know, on behalf though, let me send compliments out to y'all over there because y'all definitely doing y'all thing. And the reason I say that is because I'm gonna keep it 100. I'm sure people do send that shout out and that compliment to y'all over there, but I don't think I think it kind of gets overshadowed. I'm just keeping it 100. Go ahead. You there? I'm here.
Yeah, cool, man.
Okay.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, but that's
we stayed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like so, and that's why I point that out. I point that out because it's about the music, but I think it's important for people to just kind of understand. You know, you got the youth coming up, but again, we want people to understand what it takes. Like this, I can curse on here. It's not censored. You can too. But in other words, this shit isn't fake. It's not a facade. Like when you do your music, you bring your culture to the table. You don't bring things to the table that you haven't seen or that you haven't been through. So what I'm saying is, those things that we all love hip hop, but those things that maybe we can't understand. Just even to the geographical natures, everything, the way you came up, the streets where you come from, you know what I'm saying? And that all goes into your music. We're all telling the same story. You know what I'm saying? We all telling the same story, but you guys have your different way of telling it, and you guys got mad flavor. I don't think y'all hear it enough, so I just wanted to point that out to you, man.
Oh, thank you, man. That's mad love right there.
Yeah.
There's a statement that you said of like, you know, like don't front sort of on hip hop, man. Like it's not a facade. I always say that all the time, man. Like I give props to anybody who wants to do a part of this culture, but if it's a fad or if it's like a phase that they're going through because it's just cool and they don't want to even do their homework on it, man. Like, you know, when I started, I wanted to do my homework. Where did this culture come from? And, you know, how the Australian scene pick up on it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings more rapport and more respect to like people around the culture who would love it as much as I do. But, you know, honestly, man, if someone comes in and they're not feeling it, they just go through a phase and then later on it's like, yeah, that was my other days, so I'm not like really that hip hop anymore.
Right.
I can't respect them, man. You know, like because it disrespects what I love and what I do. So,
right.
You know, like to anyone listening, if they want to, you know, do hip hop to the fullest and walk down this like long hard road, man. Just you've got my back, man. Yeah, you know, I have your back. Full respect, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
When do you find yourself? When do you? I know you. I'm sure sometimes when you're on the go and you those lines, those bars, those verses, they come to you and you might jot them down. Sometimes a lot of people do it on their phone. But when you get chance to settle in and you're not on the road, maybe or you're not driving, you're not the one behind the wheel. But when is your best time to get settled in and really buckle down and pull that feeling and expression in some of your best hits? Is it like nighttime when you're home chilling? Is it first thing in the morning during the wake and bake session? Or you know what I'm saying? Like, when do you pull the best of it out of you?
Oh man, let me tell you, you know, it comes at the most randomest moments sometimes, but mainly at night. It mainly happens when I'm trying to get to sleep, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'll be lying there, and then all these rhymes would be going in my head, and it would be driving me insane. All this great concept would come, and I'd have to flick on the line and just start writing it down. But, you know, most of the time it's at nighttime when it's nice and quiet, and, you know, everyone's asleep, and I'm the only one that's awake because it, you know, it's just nice and quiet, man. There's not any noise and you know, stuff outside that's going to, like, juggle me away from it, you know? So how I write, man, is a lot of people, like you said, do it on their phone. I do it with a pen. I do it the old school way, man, because it's if something doesn't work, I can scribble it out and stuff. But I always think of the title of the song. So if it would be, for example, like Understand Me, I'd write the title of it, and then I focus all my energy and my mind on that title, and then it'd be like, all right, Understand Me. Then, you know, I do hip hop. Maybe people don't understand that because they don't know about the field. We're all different in this world, and then it just comes naturally, man, and it's just all stemming from that title. And hey, it's worked for me, man, and it's made some pretty good, great songs. So yeah.
Now, you know, I say this because I gotta ask this question. You have done mad work. Again, a work ethic that I see coming from your side of town. But this is what I'm like. You're and people hear me out, because I'm just checking the resume. My first question is, like, okay, mad features in magazines. You've done a lot of work. You've been doing a lot. You're working hard. Do you have a manager, or do you do all this stuff yourself?
Thanks, man. I really, really appreciate that. I always get that question all the time. You know, people bug out sometimes because they say, like, do you have a street crew behind you that's doing, like, you know, street press doing all this, or, you know, do you have a manager? To be honest, man, no. I do this all on my own. Like up late nights and stuff, social media, just try and get on any little bit I can.
Right.
And you know, there's like a lot of artists in my position that have managers that do this for them, but I feel it makes me feel good about myself knowing that if I'm doing it on my own and not letting someone else do it for me, then it's just a better stepping stone in a way. Don't get me wrong, man, it gets tough at times. Sometimes it's like it gets down, like, you know, we all get down and think, damn, I've done so much,
right.
and it's like, is it like progressing me forward? But
right.
then I take a breather and I look at that list and I just think,
yeah,
man, I've done so much in my career. It just puts a smile back on my face, man. So
yeah.
It's just, yeah, well, this one will even go to the list as well, man. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's another interview done, man, for sure. So yeah, I'm just trying to get on anything possible, because at the time, back in 2012, I was performing at a gig called Urban Star, and it was kind of like this talent competition for just catered towards hip hop and R&B, and there was about 30 contestants. Including myself, and there was 3 judges on the night, and I was like one of the last contestants to go up, so I had to sit through all the rest of them.
Yeah.
And when they were performing, they were doing cover songs of other people's work, and I was literally the only one doing my own track.
Right.
And two of the judges, I don't know why, scored me with a zero, but there was this third guy, and he's called Marcus Pinnell.
Uh-huh.
Rest in peace. He's gone now. He passed away last year. Uh-huh. But he used to be a producer for Def Jam.
Okay.
And it was insane, because knowing that that's one of the highest hip hop labels that we have today,
yeah.
And knowing that he used to work for him and he enjoyed my performance, which just blew me away.
Yeah.
And we were having a chat, and he just said to, you know, as an artist, try and get as many fans possible, try and get on as many things as you can, whatever it may be, even if they have a low fan base, there could be someone out there listening or, you know, hearing you. Just try and get on anything possible. And it's stuck with me to this day, man, that advice of just to flooding on everything possible, and that's why I have that massive list, man, because I'm just doing anything I can to be heard pretty much. So
hey man, that's smart. That's real smart. Those are and those are knowledgeable Jews to this industry too, because you know, I look at bios all the time, and I swear, like, there's so many people who have been doing so many things in their list, or, you know, major things, but their list is not as long as this. Now, and I noticed when you talked about earlier, sometimes you kind of get tired, because I ask that question to artists sometimes. I go, has there ever been times where you just might want to say, listen, you know what, I think I want to give up this and I want to take a different direction, and you get tired, and then you stop and you think about it. But when you look at this resume, man, like, you've accomplished so much, how shit, do you ever get tired?
Honestly, man, to go on the bad side of the tracks, man, there has been a lot of times where it's breaking me down, man, where it's just be like, it becomes frustrating or you know, like, it's a downer, because it's like, I'm doing so much, and like, is it being recognized, or, you know, like,
it is,
it's just like, there's so many artists wanting to go for this, and then there's so many artists getting signed,
right?
But they're just whack, man. You know, like, people listening to them while I'm looking at that list, working my ass off. But it comes to a point of just, man, if I don't make it, or if I do make it, either way, man, I'm part of hip hop, man, and I've always been a part of hip hop, and it's changed my life, man. And it's, you know, I know they give me the local sort of hip hop crew that you know, love it in Australia, giving me the respect. I'm pretty much part of hip hop now, man. So I can't be mad at that, man.
Man, I love what you just said right there, man. I love what you just said, because again, a lot of people forget. Listen, it shows in the music, Muggsy. All of this, you know, $1 million this, and you know, and I ain't dissing nothing, okay? But I think a lot of the value, again, I speak on where this stuff comes from, has been forgotten about. So when you say things like, I like when you say things like, listen, I'm a part of hip hop regardless. You understand what I'm saying? That is the biggest accolade that I think that you can even receive in this, because at the end of the day, let me tell you something. Even the most expensive, even the most money making artists out here nowadays, some of the biggest recognized, it when they ever fall, and this is just a general statement, I'm not talking about any particular artist, anyone, when all of the money goes away, do you still want to be respected as a hip hop artist?
That's it, man. Exactly. You know,
and that's what right. I think that's what makes you part of the culture. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. It also just comes down to, man, how much you provide, but also just perceive yourself into this culture. Like, what I was saying before, like, I did my homework. I found out where it came from, and over the years, I researched and developed, like, how this sort of point, you know, it's just a phase that you go through. It's a culture, it's like a movement that we all love, man, and you know, just I don't understand why I'm coming to it and just, you know, the real heads love, you know, if that makes sense, man.
Yeah, it does. So okay, now let's talk about the 2013 album, Understand Me. And again, I like these titles, because these titles, I feel like they speak to everybody. I feel like when you're writing your music, you're being a voice for so many people. You're telling your story, but you're also a voice for others that don't get the opportunity to share that platform. But that title, kind of give us a bit about how you came up with that title.
Yeah, sure, man. So at the time, I was writing. I already had the list ready, like the track list, and you know, I was going through the down the list, And getting a title for an album can be very hard by a marketing point stance, man, because you don't want to make it sound blank, or you want to make it sound good. And at the time, I want to call it Darkness Falls because I want to make it like sort of gritty, but also just it's just like, wow, we you know, is this a sad story or is this like sort of a like a mug's his way. And one of them said, "Oh, put Understand Me," and I was like, "All right, yeah, I'll try that." And it just clicked, man. Like, it just said, "Yeah, okay." So the track is each bit by bit is about my life and why I want to make it in this industry, and it's just Understand Me, Understand Muggsy, pretty much. So yeah, it just clicked, man. So
yeah. I agree, because it's self-explanatory. And I know you spoke the first time you said you were thinking of something that had with the title Darkness. And it's crazy because even with Understand Me, it still shows people, listen, there's, understand my life, understand me, understand what's going on. And again, that evolves into the realistic story of people just understanding. And so I think you did great with that title. Just like in 2010, The Ride or Die. That was your debut album, right?
For sure.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, because the title itself sounds hungry. I know you're hungry on your first album out, and the title says that, right? It sounds like it with the Ride or Die title.
Oh, for sure, man. You know, like, I was a young teenager then, back then, man, and I was in that mindset of, fame and fortune and stuff like that. But then when I grew up and, like, researched more, I was just like, man, like, it's not all about that, man. It's all about just being humble to the craft, man. So, and that's where Understand Me came. And then next up on the list, I don't have much to tell you, man. All I'm in the writing process and beat process at the moment, but track wise and title wise of the album, who knows, man. But all I can tell you and listeners and fans right now is it's going to be way better than 1 and 2. Number 3 is going to be like a big album, man. And hey, number 3 is my lucky number 2, so that's a good sign as well.
Right.
So yeah.
And also as we go on, I want to also make sure everybody, already and congratulate you on recognizing the different charity events and things like that. Also, people out there, this guy's involved, not selfishly. You know what I'm saying? Not just doing his music, but also giving back to the communities with foundations. Go ahead.
You there, man?
Yeah, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? We're giving back with the foundations and stuff like that. Back in 2014 with the Break Free Fridays and the Christmas party and things like that. So, like, what's your take? How do you feel about about sharing the gifts and just joining community charities and things like that and helping the youth? I'm assuming that's like a big deal to you.
Talking about mad musicians making a difference.
I'm glad you said it because I had the abbreviations and I didn't know how to pronounce it. Okay.
So you could sort of cut out a bit, but yeah, I totally know what you're talking about, man. Mad. Yeah. Okay. So when I was starting off in my career, they're sort of about 30-minute drive from where I am, and I drove past. Well, technically, I didn't have my license. I drove past my mom. And the studio had all these hip hop sort of posters on the windows and stuff, and on the big banner across their front office was just said "Mad" in this graffiti sort of text, and I was like, oh, is this like a sort of hip hop independent label? So I walked in, and Emma, she's like the co-director, but her husband Dom, those two run the sort of youth organization, and I said, I'm a startup artist and stuff. Can I hand my demo into here and stuff? And they're like, no, we're a youth organization, but our clients, are very hip hop based, influenced. They're either homeless or they're drug abuse or they're angry, they're depressed and stuff, and they want a change in their life. And we change their lives through music and dance. So at first I started doing a few courses with them. I think I did a sound foundations course where it's like what you learn in the studio or how to perform live and stuff. And it was all free, you know, and it made me bring like new friends and stuff like that. But then afterwards, they saw what I was doing in my solo career and they're like, yo, Muggsy, can you come on board with us and, you know, be a volunteer for our new teenagers to come in and, you know, help them with, you know, like changing their lives sort of thing. So I helped them with a few courses, like sort of as a volunteer, and I'll get kids coming in, man, saying, you know, we've checked out your Facebook page and stuff. I can't even write. I've got a vision in my mind to write this song. How do you like do it? Because I want to be like where you are and stuff. And I would just show them the concept of just think of a structure or think of what you want to write down and just put it down like step by step, and it would just change their lives, man. Most of the time they'll never go back to that sort of life of, they'll always like want a positive outcome of, you know, either finding something in music or even getting a job to fund that career and stuff. And it was very beautiful, man. It was very rewarding. It's great what the mad guys are doing. So yeah, I'm still with them, man, every now and then whenever I get the chance, but they're doing great things, man, for their kids that come in. So yeah.
You know what? I'm getting ready to get into the acting a bit too. We're gonna talk about the acting because that's another way cool situation. You know what I'm saying? But I wanted to get deep here for a minute, man. And this is just honestly, yo, like you and I point this out. I keep pointing this out, man, because it means a lot. Like again, I don't see why I'm looking at your resume, man, and I'm still trying to figure out, and it's not about any big labels because you could, you know, have your own independent label and totally blow up. But I'm trying to figure out, man, when I look at your resume and just everything, I don't even know why I'm trying to figure out why or has anybody, like, have you turned down any big deals yet? Because I'm trying to figure out how come with your work resume, man, how come somebody ain't came and offered you a nice chunky deal and a good deal? And the reason you laughing, but I'm saying that, man, because shit, like music is about hard work and about, listen, look, you know what I'm saying, Muggsy. I'm getting crazy right now. You know, when people get signed, a lot of times they go through what? Artist development. They go through promotion. They go through going on all, they do all of the stuff. If people were to look at your resume, man, you're a self-made artist, a self-made talented artist. Shit, you even save a lot of labels a lot of money, to be quite honest, with the work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I get that question a lot, man. Like, you know, it's more like an in-my-face sort of thing. They're like, why aren't you signed? Why aren't you signed yet? And to be honest, man, I can't even tell you that because I try and push it out there as much as I can, and like I've heard every excuse under the sun why they push me back, man. And it just goes around a circle of just
the politics, like, and the bullshit.
Maybe you need to work on this, or maybe like your artisting is on that. It's always an excuse, man. And it's just like, oh man, like I'm just gonna continue the right I'm doing, man. And hopefully there is that one person that says I want him. You know, so
that's the thing. But you know, obviously it was a rhetorical question. You know, it wasn't even for you. It was a question really for the universe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like, again, I feel as though I know your work's being recognized. There's just no way that it's not. It's just way recognized. It shows that it's recognized. It's already recognized. You know what I'm saying? It really is. And I guess I just wanted to stick that out there, but man, that's crazy. So, okay, now, and listen, I know it's already there. It's already there for you. You're probably already there and just don't even know it yet, man, but it's going to kick into you real soon. The acting, okay, because you've done some background acting and stuff like that. You've even featured in some short films. And I talk to a lot of film people. That's a lot of what this show is about. Now, let me ask you a question. Like, being able to feature in so many short films, were you casted? you know, like, were there auditions? Are you into filmmaking? Like, what? How'd you get into that?
Yeah, man. Well, at the time, I've been doing acting for about 4 years now. And, like, when I was doing music, I was just four years? Yeah.
With all that acting you have done in just 4 years?
Yeah, man.
Shit.
So,
go ahead.
So, I was doing music at the time, man, and I realized there's probably more avenues of entertainment out there. I just haven't searched them out yet. And then I was like, why not try acting for a bit? So at the time, I signed up with an agency, you know, and they did like a little portfolio and stuff like that. I only found a few things with them, but they didn't find me much because, you know, their client list is just through the max.
Right.
And then I found a site online called Star Now, and it's kind of like a job site catered towards just the entertainment field. And I just found so much work through that, and they just built up my resume and stuff. And it's got me on some pretty independent stuff, but great stuff as well. And I think my biggest thing that I ever got through Star Now was last year I was casted as an extra on Jackie Chan's new movie, Bleeding Steel. And that was just insane to me, man, because knowing, like, as a kid, I used to grow up watching, you know, like Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3, and you know, like Jackie Chan adventures on morning cartoons and stuff
right.
like that. And knowing that I'm on the same set with him now, only as an extra, but still on the same set with him, and he was just like
yeah.
a couple of feet away from me, that was just insane, man. It was just, it was pretty surreal, to be honest. So,
yeah
like that's one of the great experiences
hey,
I've been through, man.
Especially on the set with Jackie Chan, man. That's real right there, yo. Wow.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, yeah acting is just a side note, man. I love doing it. It's very confronting. Like, sometimes I'll apply for or talk to the director, you know, apply for it, and they don't tell you nothing about it. They tell you about the script or the film, but they don't tell you what role you're going to play sometimes. And you go down there, and you're like, all right, what's my role? And I think the most craziest one I ever did was I went down to it wasn't even an audition. The guy just was fed up with auditions, and he was just like, we'll try and give this guy a shot. Okay, I guess it was an audition, man, but it was weird because, all right, I'll tell you the story. Sorry,
yeah.
man, I'm getting all over the joint. So
you
I went down there, and it had like a little, it was called Romeo Must Die, right? So it was kind of like a hip-hop sort of...
Everybody knows Romeo Must Die.
Yeah. It was kind of a hip hop sort of thing, but in that tone of, you know,
right.
I guess, I think Romeo Must Die is a fairy tale there. I don't know, man. But anyway, so I went down there, and the guy, I was like, all right, what am I meant to do? And he's like, I want you to play Romeo like that. And I said, all right. And he's like, but what do I have to do? And he said, okay, we've had a lot of auditions come in, and it's about this boyfriend who... It has a girlfriend who's got like a baby with him, but he's very aggressive with her, like he's very dominating and stuff, and she wants to leave, but she's afraid that if she leaves, that, you know, he's gonna kill her and stuff, because, you know, he's very persistent sort of thing. And I was like, all right, yeah okay, I can understand where you come from. And he said, we've had so many auditions come in, and you know, some can't get into that aggressive mode, or some just go way too overboard that it's like psychotic in a way. We want the in between, like the blend, like, you know, the sort of middle ground. And it's like, can you do that? And that was very confronting, man, because it was just like, crap, I gotta get, like, I love my women, man. I ain't gonna lie, man, I love them to death.
Right.
But it got to that. It got to the point of like, crap. Like, how am I gonna do this? You know, because it's just, it's not me. You know, it's like, it's not what I do. To like hit a woman or something like that. So he's like, can you do this? And I was like, I walked in, and the female actress was like, you know, on this couch, and they bloodied her up with makeup and all this sort of stuff like that.
Right.
And she looked the part, you know, and she was really very good. And I remember the, like, he's like, okay, you gotta start whacking into her and stuff, not like fully,
right,
you just gotta make it look real, you know, and like, you know, like she's screaming for her life and stuff, and I was just doing it, you know, but grunting and like, you know,
right,
calling her like a bee and stuff like that,
right.
And he was so amazed, man, that he was just like, you got the part, you just nailed that in like in just the minute of like 5 minutes, man. And that was crazy, man, because it was like an out-of-body experience of just, what did I just do just then, you know?
Right.
It was weird, but yeah, I got the part, man, and it was a great time, I guess, beating up,
wow,
a woman. Yeah.
Hey, but you know what though? I mean, it's movies, it's acting. So I mean, hey, you know what I'm saying? That's what getting into character is like. You know, you think about the serial killers and everybody like that. I mean, stuff people wouldn't do in everyday life, but it's what makes good cinema. Listen, we got a few minutes. We got about 5 minutes before we go, and I wanted to say this to yo. I was noticing, I'm listening to you, and I talk to filmmakers every day, all the time, actors, whatever. And you have done so much. Listen, do you have an IMDb? Have you heard of IMDb? Do you have an IMDb page?
No, man, no, I don't. Yeah, I've heard of IMDb before, man. But no, I don't, man. Mainly my main platform is just Facebook, man.
Man.
I think I better get one soon.
Yeah,
but,
yo.
Yeah, no.
Because the point I was making was, you got a resume that I like longer than a lot of people I talk to that have been doing this a long time. And the truth of it, and I'm listening to you and you're like, you know, it's just a side job. And I'm like, damn, you know how many people would love to have their IMDb page to even look like that? And so that's why, you know, my people were like, well, ask him, does he have an IMDb page? Because you need to get that back up and running, man. That's a lot of credits you got right there.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I definitely will for sure. It's just all good promotion pretty much, so I definitely will get onto that.
Well, you know, the credits, I mean, you probably know this already, but you know, the IMDb, like those different projects you've done, those go towards credits that matter, you know, with other work that you want to do. And yours is crazy. It's a rap sheet. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Thank you, man. Like all the support and stuff, so overwhelming, man. Like that. Thank you so much.
But do that too, because again, like, I don't know, like maybe you might catch a part in the USA sometime. Like a lot of these filmmakers over here, or even in Australia, you know what I'm saying? Like would like to see your work. So a demo reel or something like that, man, and we'll make sure we put it up on our site and stuff like too. So you know what I'm saying? That way somebody can hit you up. Listen, Muggsy. I want to get your Twitter handles, Facebook handles, websites, and things like that. First off, let's go with some shout outs.
Yeah, for sure, man. My first shout out would definitely be to you, man, and your show and stuff, because like without you, man, like I wouldn't even be having this interview right now. So definitely a big shout out to you, and I wish you guys like all the best with it, and I hope it's success on, you know, like in the future endeavors that you do, man. It's just much love from Australia to the USA for you right now, man. My second shout out would definitely be, you know, to my fans, because without them, they're not the ones that are checking out my music and stuff like that and checking out my career and my journey pretty much. So definitely to the fans. And the third shout out, like, in all honesty, man, to the pioneers, the founding fathers of hip hop, man, you know, and without those guys, man, you know, we wouldn't have it today. Like, so those guys that started it off back in the 70s, man, you know, like Grandmaster Caz and African Bambaataa and stuff that, you know, Cool Herc and Grandmaster Caz and stuff, man, just, man, they have Muggsy's support, man. I'd love to meet him one day and just, I know, man, like, give him a hug, man, say, man, you've made something that I've grown up to and become a part of. So without those guys, man, I don't even know if hip hop would have existed well, or even come to where we've had it today. So they're my three shout outs, man. Three is my lucky number two, man.
Hey.
So, yeah.
Hey, that's what's up, man. Mine too, yo.
That's what's up.
Hey, you know what, man? And also, too, because you spoke earlier, I remember you saying you were 26 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, that's crazy because a lot of people, you know how many artists out here today or how many hip hop cats 26 years old who have no idea who Kool Herc is? That's why I had to throw that out, man. I had to compliment you on that for you know, really, really understanding, and that just shows that you understand and appreciate hip hop at 26 too. You know what I'm saying? Not to say there aren't other 26 year olds who know that, but just look how much those people have been put in the background and not even talked about these days. And given their respect.
Man, I think they should be talking, like, you know, 1520, man, South Bronx, man, like, should just be spoken about when someone wants to get into this genre, man, because it's such a beautiful way of how it came up. And, you know, like, I wasn't even born in the 70s, man. I was born in 91.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's so beautiful, man. It's like, yeah, it's great.
It's a big
thing. I love hip hop, man.
All right, so listen, where can people follow you on Facebook and Twitter, and where can they check out your music, and what can we expect coming up next?
For sure, man. Yeah, like, my main platform is just everything's on my Facebook page, man. Like, my Twitter's attached on there, and my Reverb Nation band page is attached onto my Facebook page at Muggsy. So if people just type in Muggsy at Muggzy, that's for Australians. I think the Americans call it Z. So Muggzy. Yeah, I'll pop up straight away, man. Give me the thumbs up. More followers, the better. But give me a message as well, man, because I try and get back to as much people as possible. So everything that you want to know, what I'm doing, who I'm meeting, like what I'm going to be on, and, you know, my music and my Twitter and whatever, man. It's like all on that page, man. So go to Facebook, type in Muggsy, Muggzy, and then I'll pop up, man. So check it out. Yeah.
All right. Sounds great. Listen, Muggsy, keep doing your thing. Also, what we're gonna do is some of your tracks, man. Make sure you get them to us. That way we can get them on 2 to 3 with Janet Lee's show. And I'll be starting going back to the radio play now too, man. And we love to have your music on here to keep it in rotation and for you to come back on the show, man.
Oh, definitely, man. Absolutely. Hopefully when the third album comes out, man, that's you know, another big blockbuster to come and have a bit of a chat about, man. So definitely, man.
No doubt. Listen, on behalf of myself, man, and so many others all across the globe, listen, congratulations on all your success so far, and we wish you much more success in the future. Listen, Muggsy, you're working hard, man. You're working hard, and your contribution just by itself and the work that you put in, it deserves more. I can't really even put it into words. It's you know what it is. You know the effort you're putting in, and we appreciate that out you, Muggsy.
Thank you, man. Much love and respect from Sydney, Australia, man.
Yeah.
Have my support towards your show, man. So thank you. Thank you for this interview, man.
No doubt, man. And listen, for those who may have tuned in late or missed it, which I always say you should have been here from the beginning, make sure in just a few minutes you will be able to go back and listen to this full conversation with Muggsy and hip-hop artist Muggsy and myself, Keith Harris, for full playback purposes on social media. Make sure you go out. Get out, go online, find the music, support the music. Go to the Facebook page. We're going to post it up there, too. And make sure you show Muggsy your support. Muggsy, do your thing, man. Good morning to you, too, because it's early out there, ain't it?
Yeah, good morning to you guys, too. I'll check you guys next time, man. Thanks.
All right, man. You have a blessed day. We'll be talking to you soon, brother.
All right. Later, man. Thanks.
All right. Hey, everybody out there all across the land. That was main man Muggsy in the building, hip-hop artist, doing his thing. Real down-to-earth guy. I wanted to talk about some more stuff and get into some more stuff. So we'll get a chance to speak to him a little later, and we'll keep you guys posted. You know what time it is, Keith Harris Show, Blog Talk Radio. Be back.